Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
So Andy Martino, a guy I respect and is usually really locked in, works for SNY, said that the Mets are running out of patience with the Carlos Correa situation and they're about to walk away. I'm paraphrasing. So, I've been thinking about this a lot. Now, Steve Cohen is extraordinarily generous with his money. If he wants a player, he's going to get a player. So, the fact that they're actually thinking hard about this shows you to what level they're concerned about the injury. The San Francisco Giants built their whole offseason around getting Aaron Judge or Carlos Correa. They missed on Judge. They had Correa signed, and they blew it out of the water. We can't do it after they saw the medicals. So you tell me, Don. So I think it's 11 years, 320 the Mets are at, and it was 12 years, 350 the Giants are at. What deal could, I mean, Correa and Boris, they don't want to lower his guaranteed money. The Mets are so concerned about this plate that's in the kid's ankle. What is what is an equitable fallback? I mean, the Mets probably say, we'll give you 5 years at 35 a year. And Boris going, no way. So he's looking for another team probably that's going to give more guarantee.
Where who's going to do that?
Maybe the Twins.
The Why would the Twins do that?
Well, the Twins knew his medicals from last year. They are from 10-year, 295. He played for them.
Well, then Boris is obviously smart enough to know he must have some sort of a fallback. So he must know the Twins will give him 10 years.
Right.
But what I'm saying is you've got an owner who has a ton of money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He spent $800 million during the offseason. It's only 2% of his wealth. If he's nervous, then I would think that all the other baseball teams would be like, listen, I don't have the kind of wealth that Cohen has. I can't take the chance. So, you know, the thought was that maybe in the final 4 or 5 years of the contract is when the ankle maybe would become arthritic and he wouldn't be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
If Cohen's not want to eat the last 5 years of the contract, what are the teams going to do that?
Unless Cohen and the Mets want to go down to such a number that there would be a team that would say, okay, well swoop. I mean, to get Carlos Correa is not good.
I know.
He's great.
So, but Cohen, if this is monopoly money to him.
And it is.
Right. Does he want to take the PR hit? I mean, you got the fans all excited. You get one of the best shortstops in baseball, one of the best players in baseball.
But the fans can't get mad at Cohen. They know he's not cheap.
No, I know he's not cheap, but still, you had the excitement. You saw how the fan base reacted when they got him. They stole him away from San Francisco. The fan base was so happy, and then to lose out on him, that would be not a PR disaster, but it would be a hit. It would take a hit.
It would be a hit, but, I mean, he'd get over it.
I know.
And you know what Peter said the other day about owners walking through the stands?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that after the show. There's one owner in New York that could walk through the stands that have universal love. It's Steve Cohen. Every other owner would get ripped.
Mm-hmm.
They might get applauded too, some of them, but there'll be some nasty words for every single one
Cohen
of them except for Steve Cohen right now. They're all in love with
him. And even if they lost Correa, that would still be the case. I'm just saying there was so much excitement, it would get pulled out from under. The fan base would be like, oh, here we go again. We got this great player. He's gone. Because most fans don't care about what's going to happen 7-8 years with his ankle. They want to win now. And that's the way Cohen was. That's how you felt about it. So if all of a sudden the Twins are willing to give him the 10 years, but the Mets weren't going to go 11, that would go against type and would be a bit of a PR blow to the Mets. I'm not sure that's something that Steve cares about, but as a fan of the team the way Steve is and seeing how excited the fan base was off the signing, do you really want to lose him? That would sting from not even trying to be in on him to begin with. Wouldn't it be worse? You had him.
And also, he opened his mouth to John Heyman and said, you know, this is the last piece. We really needed it. So, I mean.
Because where do you go now?
Yeah, because I guess Boris could put this up for arbitration, but Boris doesn't want to lose Cohen. right now, Boris and Cohen have a really good thing going on.
So if you lose Correa, you said that he's the final piece, this is the piece we need, and now where are you to go? I mean, everybody else is gone.
Yeah, everybody kept thinking, well, they'll make a trade for Devers. Well, they're not going to make
a trade
for Devers.
No, Devers is
now.
Already locked up. So, Maybe if money is no object,
Escobar or Beatty.
Why are you playing games? Yeah, they have a plan B and a plan C.
Mm-hmm.
But the plan A was done. The fan base was going nuts. If money really is no object, then why would you lose out on what would maybe end up being just a year? If you're telling me the Minnesota's willing to go 10 and he won't match that, even if it means that we're all regretting it because the ankle goes, but again, money was supposed to be no object. It didn't matter. First of all, the contract they gave him was ridiculous anyway. All these contracts are ridiculous. You're definitely going to bite it at the end, right? At the end of the contract, it's not going to be worth it, but you don't care because you want to win now. Collect a bunch of championships.
Here's the deal. I don't even think it's Cohen. Because Cohen, as strange as it sounds, when you have $17 billion, what he's paying Correa is laugh money. I think it's the front office and the lawyers said, you can't get into doing stuff like this. You just can't.
Well, but you live and learn in the future. But when you lock something up and then you take it away from somebody, it's worse than never being in on it at all. If San Francisco said no and he went back to Minnesota, Met fans would be like, oh, why weren't we in on him? But okay, fine. Maybe they like Beatty. Maybe Escobar is going to be fine. But the fact that he was here, he was a Met, and then he's not? That's a hit, man.
And you do wonder, was he playing games having his young son with an I Love New York t-shirt? Was he trying to put pressure on Cohen?
So how do you guys think this ends up resolving?
Oh, boy, what a good question.
Sometimes it's the simple question, you know? I learned that
if Martino's saying they walk away, I think they walk away.
And where do you think Correa ends up?
I don't know if the Twins are going to be more scared now after two New teams York. That really have money said no.
Well, here's my question. How many teams have to walk away before the contract goes down to being 5 years?
A lot of teams have
to walk away. Or when does Correa say, wait a minute, I want to be in New York? I don't want to go play Minnesota
for 10 years. If he signs a five-year contract, right, then the next time he's a free agent, he's 33 years old. All of a sudden, he's not as desirable. So he's not going to get that $300 million windfall he thought he was going to get.
I will tell you, baseball's got a lot of uphill battles in terms of staying as popular as some of the other sports in this country. The era of these 13-year contracts does not help.
No, it's going to end bad.
It's going to end. We are going to get to a point where it's just brutal and boring, and people are just sitting unmotivated on teams for years and years.
But that's not supposed to be the Mets situation because of how rich the owner is. Like, even if the Correa contract in the second half is miserable, all right, so what? We'll get somebody else. We'll continue to pay him. I don't care how much our payroll is. The Twins, if the Twins screw this up, Peter, they could be done for like a decade because they're not a big market team. They don't generate the income or have the owner like Steve Cohen, where if it ends up this guy gets arthritis in his ankle in year three of the contract and they got to pay him to do nothing for 7 years,
that's a problem.
It can cripple the franchise. It's not supposed to cripple the Mets.
Right.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Lonnie in Harlem. Lonnie.
Chewy, get back to the ship. What's going on? We all know who Chewy is on this panel, right?
No.
Peter, what's going on, Pete?
It's a Chewbacca joke for me.
Oh,
it's
innovative. Gotcha.
It's very innovative. I appreciate that, Lonnie. Thank
listen,
you.
Listen. The company is here. I don't know why you had to take shots at us, Peter, yesterday. Then you taking shots at our guy, Dave. Then you taking shots at Rico, Ray, Santi, Kay. Listen, Kay, I love you. What you just did was not New Yorker. I mean, come on, you calling for the man's job?
Oh, it was total New York.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Total
that was absolutely
no, it was not.
No, it was
not.
New York as you can get.
No, it was not.
You're going to come after me? I've got more power. I'll come after you.
Yeah, I don't know. How was that not New York?
I understand that. Okay, I understand that. Listen, me personally, I love you guys.
Thank you.
But for you to come after DNR, the show that's now carrying the station on their back.
Oh,
you need to watch
my
yourself.
God.
You need to watch
not.
Yourself, all right?
Wait. Let me just ask you something.
The radio.
Lonnie.
Radio. Let's go.
Lonnie, what did we say that was so out of line and so personal against Rick and Dave? Give us an example.
First of all, of all, y'all are constantly bashing Dave. You talk about him being a bad father and all this other
because
stuff.
Because he is. Lonnie, come back to me. He is an outstanding... Lonnie, I'm trying to be with you, man. Listen, we love Dave. He's an outstanding talk show host. You should love that show. He's a bad dad. I mean, both could be true.
Time out. But why do we have to air that on air? Why do you have to tell everybody in the world?
Because these things happen on the air. Well, listen, Can we play the drops? These weren't a hidden microphone in his bathroom. These were on the air. These were moments on the air.
Lonnie, can I ask you one thing?
Wait a minute, Lonnie.
Who makes verbal love to Rick DiPietro every day in the afternoon? Who does that?
Now, listen, Kay, Uncle Rico, I love that man. I love all four of the Uncle Yummy. I love him. Okay? But listen, don't take shots at nobody on that show. Y'all constantly say y'all not going to talk about Dave. 2 seconds later, y'all talking about Dave. Can I get a point out?
Lonnie, I think I'm going to hang up on you. No, because he's making no points.
Yeah. Dumb. Know your place on the food chain.
Or get eaten. That's how it works.
Or get eaten. That wasn't New York. That was about as New York
as you could get. First of all, and you know why the company was so upset?
Why?
Because yesterday on the show, I mentioned them and referred to them as the Lunatic Fringe. Why, that was just proven. Yeah, and by the way, is that offensive?
Red Rider, it's a great song. You know the song? Lunatic Fringe.
Is that where the term comes from?
I know you're out there.
No, that's been out there.
The term Lunatic Fringe has been out there longer.
Forever.
But it's a good song that's like 30, 40 years old. But we promote the show. It's all in good fun. The back and forth is in good fun. I'm sorry. That wasn't a secret microphone hidden someplace in Dave's house. All the bad father stuff, that's all on
the
air.
You want to see the man?
We've got the drops, okay? We've got all the drops.
We've got the receipts.
Well, all we do is talk up the show, promote the show, talk about how great the show is.
No more.
Now, we'll poke fun. I could beat you up and bad father and the uncomfortable relationship that Michael and Rick have. But then all of a sudden, one of their behind-the-scenes guys says our show is moving in the wrong direction. Now he's saying the show's not any good. That's out of line.
Going in the wrong
direction. Fireable offense, we could debate that.
Anthony, can you do me a favor?
Not debatable.
Can you do me a favor? When I'm here in the studio, I want you to hook me up with electrodes, right? Every time I mention the unmentionable show, I want you to jolt me with a shot of electricity. That show will go unmentioned on the show from now on. Because they're all little sensitive little babies. Babies, except for the great Rick DiPietro.
Let me ask you this. What if they do what you want and he's gone? Then we're in the good graces of the show?
No, because they're all sensitive.
They're all done.
Dave is screaming about, good, go away. Go promote your own show. Don't lean on us. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
I don't even know what they were responding to that was so offensive. They call me, literally, and for the record,
They rip you a lot.
The whole idea that we can't stop talking about them.
I mean,
they rip me every day. I got texts of Rick just destroying you every day.
Yeah. Time out.
Call time out. 20.
What could be more personal than going after my wife? Did Rick not text the other day about my wife?
Well, no. Don't worry, Don. It was only sexual and about your wife.
Right.
I mean, for God's sake,
man. And again, we still had fun with it and still love him.
Listen.
But all of it is fun.
Ray
is so
until some pimple on my backside has the nerve to reference ratings and failing shows.
You know what I feel like here?
A pus-filled pimple.
I feel like Ray is like Matthew Bevilacqua on The Sopranos. And I'm Christopher. I need to find a way to figure this thing out. What could he do to make this better, to make this right? Is there anything?
He has to be killed.
Just like Bevilacqua.
Yeah.
There's only the Bevilacqua
word. I really don't know how he gets up from this. Now, again, I don't want to see anybody fired. But I don't know, an apology? No, it's all going to be hollow.
You know what?
He said it and meant it.
I'm too good a guy to get him fired. But I just want you to know, I can. He's dead to me. He can't even apologize. I won't accept it.
So you see him, you're walking right past
him? No, he's dead to me.
You wouldn't go after the MSG gig, would you?
What?
You got connections there.
What do you mean? Oh, him producing the Knicks?
And Rangers, yeah.
No, let him do it. Okay. But he's dead. But he's he could grovel in front of me. He's not going
to get up. He's going to be in the building today.
Good. And no. I might spit at him.
What if he walks in here and tries to talk?
I don't want
to
hear it. I'll get up and walk out.
Right in the middle of a segment?
No, if he comes in here during a show, I'll get him fired. If he comes in while we're on the air, I will
fire. That is done.
Fire. If he comes in during.
Are the Knicks on the home or on the road?
Oh, they're on the road. He'll be here.
He might want to try to work that from home. If there's a way. Where are the Knicks tonight?
They're in Toronto.
I think I'd get the next flight to Toronto and produce it on site.
What a dunce.
If I was Ray, I'd be right now working the phones trying to make this right.
I mean, really, if you think about it, if you asked him to spell IQ and spotted him in the eye, he couldn't spell it.
Oh, my Lord. That's how dumb this was, saying.
That's how dumb he is.
In general. So you don't think it was actual just arrogance? You think he's just
flat out
stupid?
I think there's some hubris. Obviously, the show has been moved into, big boy spot. And, he's feeling his oats. Well, now.
Now, listen,
he's feeling by himself.
By the way, this is the equivalent. I just want to say something. This is the equivalent of when the New Orleans, it was the Pelicans, right? Isn't the Pelicans?
Yesterday it was the Hornets three times.
Yeah. It was, remember when the Pelicans recently said something about taking out the Warriors,
mm-hmm.
and Draymond and Clay were like, hold on a second, guys. It's nice that you have a good record. We're a dynasty.
Right.
They haven't even won their first fight yet. We're the Warriors,
again,
baby.
I want to try to control myself. The station might have gone out of business if not for the show.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. It's Steph, Clay, and Draymond.
Right.
And here, it's nice. You guys got Zion. Well, you have a good record first half of the season. Good for you. Win some championships, and then let's all have a conversation.
Well, I hate to say this, but we got to square it up.
We do.
Is that they don't have a chance to do 6-10 without what we were able to establish at this radio station. So, know your role.
And shut your mouth.
And slow your roll.
Like the Rocks. Like the Rocks. Know your role and shut your mouth.
No. Know your role and slow your roll.
Interesting.
Write that for WWE.
I just hate Rick and Dave to be collateral damage because I do think Dave was just trying to throw a lifeline.
He was.
Yeah, but he's the one
who
started
it. And Rick instantaneously was like, whoa.
Well, you can never, ever turn me against Rick.
But you have been collateral damage here, though.
Well, I'm not going to mention the show anymore, but the love is still
real. What if Rick said the same thing that Ray said?
There'd be a problem. But you know what? He wouldn't say it.
He wouldn't say it. This is very deep. This is very personal. This is very serious. I don't know if I've ever experienced this level. Because it was all fun and games until someone gets their eye poked out. And today someone's eye got poked out.
Yeah, let's admit that. Like, the company getting on about, nobody got personal. The most personal, obviously, was Rick having some fun and crossing the line about my wife. But I forgave him because I think he got a little caught up.
I mean, is a guy, by the way, this is a guy who before the ink was dry on my divorce, was making jokes about it over text messages.
Right, because it's
he's
fair
an
game.
Animal. That we've never said anything that personal back.
In a court of law, what Rick did the other day with Nancy was far worse than what Ray did.
That's true.
But Ray's was deeper.
But we kind of roll with it because, the gloves were really off. Because I don't know if anybody was going to find what Ray said funny. He wasn't going for jokes. He was dropping a bomb. We're having a knife fight, and he dropped an atom bomb.
Yeah, he dropped a bomb on me, baby.
Dropped a bomb on me.
Well, it's 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza 2023. We're giving away over $35,000 in cash and prizes, including a grand prize of $2,000 and a trip to Bimini in the Bahamas. Starting Monday, get your box for the big game by listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. I will only say that show when it's written. Bart and Hahn from noon to 3, great. And the Michael K. Show, stupendous, keeps the station going 3 to 7. This year, we've made every box a super box with over 100 prizes, including Solo stoves, Beats headphones, Billy Joel tickets, Amex gift cards, and much more. It is all brought to you by Bartesian Premium Home Cocktail Makers, Sloman's, Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, P.C. Richard & Son, Grand Marnier, an award-winning blend of fine cognac and orange liqueur, and 98.7 ESPN New York. For full contest details, go to ESPNNewYork.com. So we're on a Disney cruise, and the first stop was Nassau in the Bahamas.
Right.
And Charlie said, when are we going to Nassau? Right? Which I thought was cute. And then I was...
He was being serious, too.
Yeah, well, he's 8.
I'll give him credit. I'll give him the credit.
Nassau.
Right? I thought you were going to say, when are we going to the Nassau Coliseum?
So I'm standing next to this very large man from Ohio, probably in his 30s. Very large. The unlimited food was up his alley.
Over 3 bills.
Yeah, easy.
Maybe over 4 bills.
No, 3 bills.
Okay.
And he says to his wife, you know, tomorrow's the day we go to Nassau. I said, that's it. I'm out. There's a man. There's a 35-year-old man called it Nassau.
No.
Yeah. I could take it from Charlie. 35-year-old, three-and-a-half bills, Nassau.
I told you guys, I know we got a break. I told you guys that recently, about a year ago, I was at a restaurant, an Italian restaurant here on the Upper West Side, Pappardella, and Natalie and I were sitting there, and the lady across from us said to the waiter, completely just deadpan, I'm going to have the gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
I mean, listen, Nassau's tough. I used to love the Nassau Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
Great place to take it again.
Nassau was nice.
Too. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Anyway, when we come back, Mike Tannenbaum, the great Mike Tannenbaum.
Sure.
It's in his contract. We have to say that.
Also telling me he's not allowed on that show. We're going to get to that point. Like, our guests on this show, he has to declare.
Like it was with Letterman and Leno.
Yeah, he has to declare.
No, you know who we go after first?
Rex.
With all due respect, that would be a tough one because that's their guy. Tannenbaum's great. Let's lock Passan in right away. Let's make Passan a strictly K-Show
guy. We also
guy.
Have to take Buster away, too, because they lean on Buster a lot.
They do?
Yeah.
No. And the champ, he's with us.
Yeah.
We take the champ and the pass.
All right, we do have Tannenbaum next coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mike Tannenbaum. Mike joins us now on the show. Mike, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Happy and healthy New Year.
Same to you. All right, so you know what the NFL's competition committee has decided moving forward. Did they make the right choices, Mike?
You know, I really think they did, guys. Let's start with this. There was no perfect solution. Obviously, we're dealing with incredible tragedy, you know, unforeseen events. And I think when you look at the totality of it, first of all, there's not a certainty like these tweaks will be implemented. But if they are, I think all things considered, it's as fair and as equitable as possible.
Do you think the Bengals have a legitimate beef?
No, I mean, I understand where they're coming from, that they may lose that home game. But you know what? Like, go win and let everything else take care of itself from there, you know, and look, someone's heart stopped beating on the game field. Like, I don't know how more significant, you know, situation can be than that.
Although I understand that, and nobody wants to be insensitive to it, but the one thing I don't understand, Mike, why couldn't you make a Week 19 standalone Cincinnati-Buffalo game? I think the only negative is how long the layoff would be for the teams that had a bye, but I think that makes for better playoff games, healthier teams playing in the most important part of the season. I think that, to me, makes the most sense than coin flips and neutral sites.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Like, I do think, like, one positive that came out of this terrible situation, it brings some other interesting conversations, in which one would be is neutral site championship games, which has been talked about in the past, or, you know, more than one bye week in the playoffs themselves. So that certainly was a possibility. But I think, Don, the challenge with that idea is
you're just impacting a lot more players, whereas in this situation, you know, Cincinnati could get screwed out of a home game. But, like, again, go beat Baltimore, take care of business, and then, you know, go from there. So I think it's the lesser of the two evils.
All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. So I heard from someone close to the Johnson family that they are intent on having Zach Wilson be back with the team next year. And the question that will put you on the spot, because you work for Woody Johnson, is he an ultra-involved owner who gets involved with personnel decisions?
No. I was in that building for 16 years. I spent a lot of time with Woody, his brother Chris, senior management. I would call them supportive owners. I don't think you could walk into that facility and not see, like, incredible support for the team. They're going to have questions, and you don't want to be involved with decisions in terms of, like, keeping focused on. But I always welcomed it and had a lot of success in that structure and never felt pressure except to go win games. I mean, the object of the exercise is everybody in that building rather win 12 games with Mike White than six with Zach Wilson. So this is not about, you know, a referendum on Zach Wilson. This is about hopefully them taking the next step, you know, next year.
I'm just trying to figure out why. When you're a coach of a team who says it would do more damage than good to play someone, that he needs to walk away from the game, read a book. Like, he really made a point, Mike, that this guy's got to step away from the game for a second. And he's your backup quarterback on Sunday? Why wouldn't Streveler be your backup? Like, because you're only one hit away. And let's face it, would you be shocked if Flacco got hurt on the first series against Miami? Like, why would you go from this guy shouldn't play to where he's backing up the last game of the season with a really good chance of having to play?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Let's start with the first part, which is I actually understand taking a half step back. Like, look, I didn't play quarterback, but I ran a team in New York, and it's not for everybody. It's just not. You know, you could ask Herm Edwards. Like, first time Herm Edwards went down for his press conference, like, he's like, oh, my gosh, we're not in Tampa Bay anymore, boys. Like, this is not for everybody. And, you know, like, I'm from the Northeast. I was born in New York. I love it. It's a big part of my family and always will be. But, you know, if you're Zach Wilson and you're in Provo, Utah for a whole bunch of years in the formative years of your career, like, it is, you know, an adjustment. So, look, you talk about one game here, Don, and it is what it is. But I do think he needs to step away. And I think it really starts with him taking accountability for his career, not blaming anybody else. And for him to have the turnaround that they hope that he could have, it really starts with him earning the trust of his teammates every day. And candidly, that starts sooner than you think. That starts in March. That starts in Florham Park. Like, I don't want to hear him being with some, you know, arm coach in California. You know, Tiger Woods, a week before the Masters, didn't go see, you know, some putting specialist. He was with his coach every day, and that's what he needs to do. He needs to be in Florham Park in March, grinding it out with his teammates, getting better, and earning their trust and respect.
All right, Mike, so let's say what I'm hearing is right, and they want – somebody wants Wilson back next year. Don has brought this up as well. If you bring back Zach Wilson, can you bring back LaFleur? Obviously, LaFleur has not reached Wilson.
Yeah, I would have, like, a comprehensive discussion about that. Like, what is the plan? What hasn't worked? Why? What are we going to change? You know, I'm always going to go back to the offensive line. You know, they've tried to put resources against it. Some have worked. Obviously, some haven't, be it for injury or otherwise. But for a player that's built the way that Zach Wilson's built, he needs a very good offensive line. Like, if he played in Philadelphia behind that offensive line, you know, who knows how he would have played. So before I make any decision on this coach or that coach, like, I am going to do an extensive postmortem and really look at why things haven't worked and then go from there.
All right, if you're at the head of the Giants, what's your vote on who plays and who sits for this game against Philadelphia?
Yeah, that's easy for me. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, they're in bubble wrap. Like, they're probably not going to the stadium. You know, they're going to be embalmed in something because there is zero that good comes out of them playing. You know, they've earned the right. This is their bye week. And, you know, the reality, and Brian knows this well, like, not every player is treated the same or equal. Like, you earn it. And they have no chance in the postseason unless those two guys are as healthy as possible. They're still a young team, and, you know, some players could use meaningful reps. It's a really weird week, guys. Like, you know, if you're Nick Sirianni, like, you probably are reading the tea leaves to know that Barkley and Jones aren't playing, yet you got to get Hurts ready to go. He has a bad shoulder. you know, the trickle down effect is, like, what does Dallas do because they probably can't get the one seed? Do they think about this as a bye? There's so many fascinating storylines to me, guys, but as it relates to the Giants, there's no way I'm playing those guys.
Why do you think the Commanders did what they did last week with Wentz rather than staying with Heinicke? Doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense before the game and made even less sense after the game.
Yeah.
You know, like, for me, guys, like, I've been around, like, defensive coaches, and I'm sure Ron Rivera is sitting there in practice, and it's not even close to the physical attributes of Heinicke versus Wentz, and I'm sure he's sitting there, like, we got really good skill players that can get down the field, and Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin. And the way we can make chunk plays is one guy just has a much higher ceiling than the other, and that's what we're going to do here. So, to me, like, I was not as surprised as others, because if you didn't know anything and just went to practice, I could see why you would pick Wentz.
I know. It just feels like he should have known better. Like everyone who watches football felt zero confidence in Carson Wentz being able to play. And then immediately after, obviously deciding that they'd be going back to Heinicke, I don't know, Rivera just looks very lost to me. Is there any reason for me to be excited to watch Sam Howell play on Sunday, by the way?
Well, you're a Washington fan, Pierre, so that's a good reason.
Thank you.
You know, when you play three quarterbacks, or when you're the Jets and you play four, like, you just probably don't have one. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yep.
And you know, Wentz is just it's a very sad arc of a career. He's just not playing good enough to be in the league anymore. You know, Heinicke, the problem with him is, and I'm sure this is where Coach Rivera is coming from, you're compressing the field as the opposing defensive coach. Like, the spacing in your zone defenses are just so much tighter because you're not worried about the ball being pushed outside the numbers. You're not worried about the ball being pushed down the field, and the windows are a lot tighter. Mm. And that's one thing that Wentz brings. And Howell will be interesting because he's a good athlete. I just don't know if he has the consistent accuracy down the field. He was very up and down at North Carolina.
All right, so I'm assuming because of your relationship with Coach Parcells, you probably have a little bit of a relationship with Peyton. Where do you think he ends up?
That's a great question. I think for Sean to go back, and I don't know this, I've not talked to Sean Payton, you know, about any of this, but I would say, like, for him, it's going to have to be a chance with a quarterback, an owner that he feels is well-resourced, and he's dealing from a position of strength. You know, he's done incredibly well, arguably on the, you know, precipice of a Hall of Fame coaching career, and it may not be this year. You know, we'll find out what he thinks of Russell Wilson in the coming weeks. We'll see, you know, what he thinks of Carolina, for example. The other X factor we got to remember, Mike, is this. The New Orleans Saints have his rights, so he is not a free agent, and that is meaningful because if the Denver Broncos want him and say, hey, we'll give a third-round pick to the Saints could say, thanks, but no thanks, we're not doing it. So I don't think a deal won't get done, but I think it's important for our audience to understand that Sean Payton is still under contract to the New Orleans Saints.
So who are you feeling right now as we get closer to the playoffs of the two teams that can make the run in each conference? Is there one team that you feel really good about as we go into Week 18?
You know, I would say Kansas City. Their young defensive players are getting better. They're probably playing as well on both sides of the ball as they have all year. You know, look, you can't discount Cincinnati or Buffalo, but let's face it, like, it's an odd situation. I do think Buffalo will play well this week at home. I think the crowd will be, you know, very supportive, rightfully so. You know, on the NFC, it's a big toss-up, guys, because, you know, Philly, the health of Hurts is going to be, you know, paramount concern. They're not playing well against the run. Dallas is very inconsistent. I think they have a really high ceiling. And San Francisco, it's a great story. But look, I think Green Bay, they get in, they go out there in week one for the playoffs. Green Bay could easily beat San Francisco because Green Bay's defense is playing better. They're turning the ball over. And Brock Purdy, guys, like, it's a great story now, but I'm telling you, in the playoffs, like, it gets, you know, you got to ramp it up a couple notches here, and he's going to have to make some plays. And, you know, we're still talking about a seventh-round rookie here, so I think the NFC is wide open.
All right, if you had to go to Vegas and bet on a man to be the Jet quarterback next year, who are you betting?
Oh, boy. You know, I'd take the field, if you would let me take the field, but I would say, you know, I would look at guys like Garoppolo and Carr because, to me, you have a team that's, you know, they're improved. The offensive line still concerns me, to be candid, because I feel like some of the durability issues aren't going to go away. But I would go with a veteran, and two guys I would start with would be Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr.
All right, you're Joe Shane. What are you offering Daniel Jones in the offseason?
Yeah, I'm looking at probably like $90 million over three and probably two-thirds of it guaranteed. And if I'm Daniel Jones, I'm going to be as patient as the day is long and, you know, just say, hey, you know, let's let the market decide. Because Daniel Jones bet on himself and won, and, you know, I could see why the Giants initially didn't exercise the fifth-year option. That was obviously, you know, not the decision that worked out the way they had hoped. And he has made himself a lot of money. And there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to look at him and say, he had a good year, and he's young, and he's talented, and he's high character. And I'd rather bet on him than Will Levis or somebody else in the draft. So he is by far in a greatly improved position than he was in August.
All right, so let me follow up with that before we let you go. Because Lawrence Tynes tweeted out that, you know, if his agent doesn't get him $40 million a year, $200 million for 5 years, he should be fired. A lot of people are saying that, especially when you look at the number he would get if he's franchised. Is there a number that it gets to be so high for the Giants, who didn't believe in him at the beginning of the year because they didn't give him the fifth-year option? Is there a number where the Giants go, you know what, we're good. Brian Daboll will make somebody else a great quarterback.
Yeah, look, at some point, absolutely. You got to look at the context of, like, who else is this going to cost us? So, but, look, I think the inverse of that, Mike, is true as well. If I'm Daniel Jones, I know that Brian Daboll had a meaningful impact on Josh Allen's career. He's had a meaningful impact in my career. And maybe I could get a couple more dollars from team X or Y. I don't know if we get to $40 million, but maybe we get to $33 or $34 someplace else. Do I really want to change the arc of my career over that? And, you know, if I'm the Giants, that's what I'm pressing hard on, that, look, this is a really good deal. Maybe it's a triple. It's not a home run. But look at all the other pieces we could keep. And if we do a short-term deal, you'll get another bite of the apple.
It is kind of interesting, though, Mike, if you consider that during the bye week, when they were negotiating with Barkley and with Jones, they didn't get a deal done. So maybe they don't. It, could it be? I mean, because they put packages together that highlight the best of Daniel Jones. I mean, they don't really put him in positions where he could be embarrassed or overwhelmed. Might they think this is as good as he's going to get?
Yeah, and that's fair. Here's my concern. I've sat in the seat, and this is what keeps you up at night. That's probably true, but what's your alternative? Like,
right,
you're going to go draft Anthony Richardson, the first round from Florida, and put him under center next year? Like, and Anthony Richardson may turn out to be a really good player, but what's your alternative? You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, good player, durability issues. Derek Carr, very inconsistent. You have a guy you can win with, and I would take certainty at that position. I can't find an alternative that's more cost-effective than the guy I have in the building.
Enjoy the weekend, Mike. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That's Mike Tannenbaum. Some interesting stuff from him. We'll come back, take your phone calls. We will concentrate a lot on what the Giants are doing as well, or what they might not do this Sunday. And we make our picks at 5 in the 5 o'clock hour. Five. Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
More crying from Lonnie?
Didn't let him talk. Well, Lonnie, you aren't saying anything of any substance.
No, and he kept any.
And you kept, like, and for, you made a silly, chewy Chewbacca sound at the beginning.
Listen,
we love you. But we're not going to let you just drone on and on when you're not making sense.
No, I get this one. When did they let him talk, buddy? Don kept running his lip as usual. I'm sorry. It's our show. We get to talk. We dictate.
No, it's
didn't like any of your points. And so we're just arguing. That's sports radio. That's what it is. You got to bring it harder, man. You got to be better at it.
Got to be. Come
on. That's on you, man. That's on you. Didn't let me talk is always the weak argument of the unskilled.
Yeah, he actually said on Twitter just a moment ago, Don would not shut up, but what else is new?
No, because, you know what? I'm the talk show host, and you're the caller. You just got to work harder at it, man. Listen, I was a caller.
You've been there.
And I learned.
Sure.
Because I was calling Steve Summers and couldn't get my words in. I said, and you get mad at Steve, and then you realize, no, Steve's the pro. I want to get to that level. So keep working at it, man. The phone number's free, and you're free to call whenever you like.
But the rules of engagement are set by us, not by you. And really, Lonnie, you are making points. What Ray did, all kidding aside, is really, really dumb and terrible. There's no, it's indefensible. what he did.
Has he reached out yet?
No, of course not.
Flowers, food, candy.
No, he could reach out with money. I wouldn't care. Really? And you know how I love money.
Wow.
Paul in Long Island. Paul.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to start by saying love the show. Been a fan since like 08, 07.
Thanks.
And that's nice. I just got to say the disrespect that I have heard from the fans of the babies in the morning show is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
The unmitigated gall that these people have to insult you guys. Top dogs in New York. You guys knocked out Francesa,
that's
for Christ's sake.
Damn right. We just sent him running, packed him up.
I had to chime in and say that it is ridiculous how these two babies think they can knock you guys out, and that's it. Have a great day, guys.
Well, I mean, I will not have any DiPietro hate. I'm sorry.
Well, you got to figure out what team you're on here, pal.
I'm on Team Rick.
Pick a side.
That's your number one team?
He's my number one guy.
Wow. Rick went after my wife, and I realized, hey, it was for radio.
Mm-hmm.
But then Ray takes it. And Ray, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. Anthony, did you realize that you were supposed to chime in? Tom, did you know you were supposed to chime in? I thought it was among the hosts. Now all of a sudden the producer gets in, drops a bomb like that.
Yeah, that was strange.
I sent the video of Rick with Brent Johnson. I know he felt the way about
that. No.
I apologize.
That was to a group chat, though. That wasn't on the air.
I know Rick felt the way about it, and I feel bad about it.
Wait, did he actually feel a way about that?
Yeah, he didn't like it.
Really? No. Do you have proof of that, or you just
talking? He said I'm dead to him. Which I understand.
Oh, he's
there's a lot of this
he's
going
not, he's not.
On.
No, maybe, a lot maybe of people dead
just,
to people.
Hey, listen, how about this? Instead of just going back and forth, Michael's already said we're not going to talk about it anymore. Let's just agree to go our separate ways. You do you, we do us.
Move on.
Yes. The company, you don't like us, you
don't
call their show.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
That's it.
We move on. It's over.
That's hurting everybody. Now everybody's hurting everybody. It's not right.
You know, that's what happens in war.
Ray hurt.
It shouldn't happen, though.
But that's what happens in war.
I don't want us
There's no winners in war.
I don't want us to have a Francesa Carton relationship.
No,
I don't want a cold war. I want
that was a hot war.
I want warmth.
Mm-hmm.
I want love.
But what are we going to do?
Camaraderie.
What are we doing then? Let's have a plan here. You got Michael, who's all in on firing one guy and wants to be huggy and kissy with another.
Well,
they're on
the same
show. What are we doing?
But
wait
a second. When you listen to what happened and the idiocy of Ray,
right.
The one guy who knew that what was said was wrong was Rick.
They all did. If you hear the initial reaction, they're all like,
play it again, by the way.
No, it's too long.
We're
not talking about that show anymore.
We are talking about it right now.
We're not using the words. These are the words that we will use moving forward.
I like seeing reporter beef.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.